Hey there, Podcast Land. Episode number 104, featuring Shan Dan Horan, is brought to you by Silence and Solitude. Based out of southern New Jersey, Silence and Solitude is a metalcore quintet that consists of Shane Roxas, Colby Hempel, Cody Mitchell, Alexander Coates, and Justin Pumper. The band, formed in early 2015, has made their debut in September of the following year, having spent the previous year writing and recording. They released their debut album, Resurgence, in December of last year, 2016, which debuted at number 20 on the iTunes Metal Charts. They have released music videos for their singles, Suffering, Deceiver, and for their cover of Mariah Carey's, yeah, that one, All I Want for Christmas Is You. I have such a wonderful singing voice. From New Transcendence, Resurgence is a must-listen for 2016, without a doubt, especially for fans of metal and its subgenres. If you're looking for something that is emotionally powerful, but not too whiny, aggressive, but not hate-filled, and will stand the test of time, this is the album you've been searching for. For more information, visit www.silenceinsolitude.com. Episode 104 is also brought to you by Old Self. Based out of Toms River, New Jersey, Old Self fleshes out ambient rock melodies with poetic arrangements while using people's stories as the concepts and lyricism for their songs. They help bring people's dark thoughts to the public in a very unique manner. Their hope is to not only reach out to their fan base, but to everyone they come across with in a therapeutic way. Recently pairing up with the nonprofit organization A Voice for the Innocent, they are working on furthering their outreach in hopes they can help as many people as they can in a positive way through music. For more information, they're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under Old Self Official. And right before we get into this episode, episode 104 is also brought to you by From the Deafs. Forming in 2012, From the Deafs is a five-piece metalcore band hailing from northern New Jersey. They have two releases under their belt, their EP, The Last Time, and their full-length, Animosity. Along with playing shows as much as possible, they're writing more music for another release coming in the near future. For more information, they're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, /FromTheDeafsNJ. That's facebook.com/FromTheDeafsNJ, twitter.com/FromTheDeafsNJ, and instagram.com/FromTheDeafsNJ. Now let's get into it. Today features Kevin speaking with the myth, the man, the legend. It's man, myth, legend. You know where I'm going with this. Mr. Shan Dan Horan. He is the president of Artery Recordings. It starts right now.
From out of the wasteland of generic podcasts and radio shows, one has emerged. It prides itself on having conversations with the most talented musicians from all over the world. If you like a boring question and answer interview, this isn't for you. If you want deep conversations about anything and everything, you've come to the right place. Your new favorite show starts now, and its name is Behind the Barricade.
Good afternoon from the East Coast, Mr. Horan.
Good evening. It's weird that you call me Mr. Horan. I feel like an old man.
Well, I'm actually curious. How old are you?
I'm 32.
Yeah. See, like you're old enough to be my dad, right? I'm just a teenager in college, so.
So Mr. Horan, it is then. I'm fine with that.
Mr. Horan, it is. So, you're the president. You're the president of Artery. I had the pleasure of reading a couple articles that you had printed out and run through Alternative Press right now. And those were, as you probably recall, five mistakes you might be making with your band right now, as well as why no one's coming to your show yet, and is your band really really ready to be on a record label? My question is, when you wrote those articles, on what basis were you writing them? Like, is this coming from, you know, your experience in music, as an executive with Artery?
Kevin, you're kind of cutting out a little bit, but let me. I think I got the gist of your question. You know, those articles, anytime I write for Alt Press, it's usually geared towards, you know, unsigned bands that are trying to figure out, you know, what exactly the steps are that they should be making. Because let's face it, like, there's no college course, you know, in how to become a rock star. You know, you can't go to community college or, you know, go to ASU or something like that for what are the proper steps to make in a band. So a lot of people tend to kind of go through hearsay, you know, where, you know, a friend of a friend says this is what you should be doing, even though it's not correct. So I figured me writing an article for Alt Press and all the other, you know, podcasts or interviews I do tend to be geared towards kind of, you know, clearing up some miscommunication on behalf of unsigned bands, you know.
Right. This actually stands out to me how you describe the music industry as a giant game of chess, right?
Yes.
You know, for every move you make, there's a counter move you have to account for and adapt to. Let's talk about that. When you actually, did you have a concrete plan for when you, you know, joined Artery? Did you just wake up one day and said that you wanted to go work for these guys?
Well, I mean, the thing is, how I kind of explain that, you know, what you brought up, the whole, like, music business is a giant game of chess. It truly is. Like, when something happens, you kind of have to go with the flow. So there will be a move that takes place, and you have to adapt and kind of do that. With Artery, you know, I never geared up and woke up in the morning and said, you know, oh, hey, I want to go work for Artery. You know, I was actually working at some other labels, and they ended up, you know, we ended up having a great relationship, and it just kind of worked out. And, you know, I took a job at Artery and just kind of rolled with the punches, you know.
Okay. What was, what was your, you know, your path to where you are right now? Could you talk to me about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, of course I started where you guys, you know, or most viewers have, where I was in, you know, unsigned bands, and then I got into a signed band, and I ended up touring, and then I went to college, and, you know, you kind of take these steps, but what I was good at, you know, it wasn't so much playing in a band as much as it was dealing with the business side of a band. So I kind of discovered early on when I was very young that I wanted to go into that field. So from there, you know, I ended up working a ton of different labels. I was actually, before this one, I was working for a record label called Century Media Records for about 3-4 years.
Yeah, I've heard of Century.
And then I ended up taking the job at Artery as head of a department. And then a few years later, ended up being the president of the company just because I was running it, you know, a specific way, and it just made sense. And yeah, I mean, at this point, I also work for, you know, tons of labels like Republic and Universal. And, you know, 10 years ago, if I would have thought that, I would have thought I was crazy. You know, I didn't really expect to be where I am now. It's just kind of a stepping stone. And that's how, you know, I can relate to a lot of these bands, is where an unsigned band takes one step up, and then they take another step, and before they know it, they're like a day to remember or something like that, you know, reflecting on how big they've gotten over time, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, looking at, you know, these specific points that you brought up in which the right marketing tools require, you know, it's far more than just, you know, knowledge of how to work a spreadsheet or how to know where a book shows. It's what you're bringing to the table, what you're offering, sort of an image, right? It's all about image, I think.
It's not all about image. It's, you know, it's, there is some luck that's part of the factor, but it usually comes out to, you know, just sheer force of will. You know, if a band wants to be successful enough and they're giving it their all and working, you know, super hard, a lot of them end up breaking on. It's just that kind of tenacity that really is important, you know?
Absolutely. So as we turn to this, as, you know, it was in 2016 that you guys released the Artery Sampler, and that's with bands from I Wrestled a Bear Once, Finejas, you know, Entheos, things like that. So is this sampler right now that you get, I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, the Artery compilation album.
Absolutely. So is this a fair representation of the music that we can expect from, that we can expect that's currently signed to Artery, and what we can, you know, what's going to be coming at us this year in 2017?
Yeah, I mean, we're constantly adapting, you know. So every year, you know, we try to populate comp albums like that, you know, compilation albums, with whatever's new, you know. So we're actually working on one right now. It's an updated catalog.
Okay.
but you know, all labels, you know, change and get new roster, and you know, old roster either breaks up or you know they complete their record contract and go somewhere else or however it is. But yeah, I mean, you guys could definitely expect another comp album full of this awesome new signings, some really aggressive stuff. We've got Falsifier that we picked up. It was heavy. It's like Acacia Strain. And then we've got softer stuff. We've got a new Slaves album that's going to be coming out.
That's right.
A new Capture the Crown, which they're now called Capture.
Yeah, I've been keeping up with that. Crystal Lake is also dropping their newest album, aren't they?
They just released their new album in December.
Okay.
True North. So that's out, but a lot of people are starting to discover them more in the U.S., and with comp albums like the one we're talking about, it's a really good tool for people to kind of have a free, you know, free opportunity to check out music instead of having to buy something that they don't know anything about. If that makes sense.
Absolutely, because it's more of an offering. You know, it's more of a check out what our label is. You know, has got on, you know, to give to everybody.
Of course, and you know, back in the day, like, a million years ago when I was a teenager, there were these things called punkaramas. I'm not sure if you're aware of those.
No, sir.
It's basically what would happen in the old days is these CDs called punkarama would come out, and it was like $3 or $4, and they'd be available at like CDs, your local CD store, something like that. But it was crazy because $3 seemed like such a cheap thing, because every album out there was a lot more expensive, and you didn't have the MP3s or really easy way to download stuff illegally. So these comp albums would be like $3 or $4. You pick it up and you discover, you know, 20 new bands for free, and that was a huge discovery tool for a lot of these labels back in the kind of punk era. Like, you know, the majority of the bands that ended up becoming super successful actually had a lot of discovery come from something like that. Just a simple free comp album to expose people to, you know?
Yeah, actually, I'm looking over these things. Epitaph Records dropped these, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this was, oh man, yeah, this takes me back. This is, this is a, you know, Nofux and Bad Religion. Ooh, the Gimme Gimmies. Classics. But like, okay, yeah, I got you. You know, and actually, now that we're getting close to Warped Tour 2017, can we expect to see, you know, a fair amount of, I actually haven't been able to check out the roster in depth. Is there going to be much representation from Artery showing out at Warped Tour this year?
This year, we're not going to have that many Artery bands. We have some Artery Foundation artists on it.
Okay.
I'm not going to talk about it because I think that, you know, announcements are better done by Warped Tour. You know, we have some management clients on there, but we do not have any Artery Recordings bands on this year. A lot of them are kind of off on separate tours and doing a lot of international stuff this year.
Naturally.
But I'll still be there. It's always good to swing by Warped Tour.
Yeah, you guys are going to be, you know, putting out samplers like this, you know, merchandise, things like that?
Oh, absolutely.
And
we also teamed up with Revival Recordings. I'm not sure if you guys are aware of that. It was created by Sean from Alisana. A bunch of bands of his will be there as well, so probably have to come out and support for sure.
I see. Okay, and now Chris Fronczak of Attila also launched his Stay Sick Records in conjunction with Artery. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. So we did put some of that stuff out in the past. I know Stay Sick is like a separate entity from Artery currently.
I see. So actually, can we talk about how the process of an imprint label comes along?
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Could you please walk me through that?
So what happens is, you know, when somebody wants to create a record label, you know, it's really hard to approach certain bigger companies that do distribution because, you know, you don't have any back catalog or, you know, history with sales, so you don't look very appetizing. So a lot of times, you know, smaller imprints and stuff like that, or a label that just gets off the ground, doesn't get the traction that they deserve because they are a small imprint, you know, or they're a small label. What happens is, you know, a bigger label will actually scoop them up, kind of give them the tools that they need to get exposed to a bigger audience or get taken more seriously. And in exchange, obviously, they take a small percentage of whatever's made from that. But a lot of times, it's kind of a beneficial tool to have. Instead of, you know, being an imprint trying to release stuff on your own, now you have a team and a distributor and all types of stuff. So that's kind of how an imprint works. Other reasons people start imprints is because, you know, you can't release you can't release tons of different styles of music on one record label. It just doesn't make sense. So, for instance, let's say, and this isn't true, this is just me coming up with an example, is let's say, you know, Artery signs like 5 country artists, right? Which I would never do. But let's say we're, you know, into country, it wouldn't make sense to put it out on Artery because people expect more aggressive music. They expect that kind of scene. So what a situation would be is an imprint underneath Artery that's called some country western thing, and you release the bands on that label, so it makes sense. So if people are like, oh, I love band A on this country imprint, then they're probably going to like the rest of the bands on that imprint as well. Does that make sense?
It does. Actually, it makes perfect sense. So it's not necessarily buy directly of the band, of the record, you know, label itself. It's more as a, it's a proxy.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. I see. Sorry. So actually, that brings us to you mentioned, you know, you'll never sign a country artist. You guys generally look for more aggressive music. What can you tell me from a label that historically signed, you know, experimental metal such as I Wrestled a Bear once, you know, the aggressive post-hardcore of bands like Slaves, and, you know, all out, you know, the progressive metal of, say, Entheos. What exact, do you guys have an exact, you know, frame, a schema of what, you know, constitutes an Artery, you know, an Artery band?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it always adapts depending on each year. Like, no music style will stay popular forever. You know,
absolutely.
It's like stuff that was popular in the 90s, you know, isn't popular now. So people's tastes are always changing, and we'll adapt accordingly to that. I'm not saying that we're, you know, going to, you know, start becoming an EDM record label overnight. You know, like that's not the direction that we would go. But anything unique, anything that's pushing the envelope, we tend to be interested in. You know, if it's like a bizarre artsy band that plays aggressive stuff and, you know, does weird, like, you know, Meshuggah type stuff, like, we would take a look at it. You know, it really just comes out to something that's a bit different. You know, it's hard nowadays to be unique, you know, especially in the metalcore world where, you know, you kind of hear the same breakdowns and the same style bands and stuff like that. So
yeah,
we do our best to find something that shines through all of that and gives us just another cool, unique artist for our roster.
I see. And if following that process, the idea is that the image that you guys have for Artery is a record label that's populated with bands that do, in fact, push the envelope, that are, you know, evolving, that are constantly, you know, trying to go and break out of that, you know, heavily boxed in genre that they, you know, generally sit in anyway, right? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to be confined to one style. Obviously, it has to make sense for our fans. You know, if our fans like aggressive stuff or, you know, music in a certain style, mm-hmm. it has to be tinged with that slightly. I would be scared to throw out something out of left field. But we're, you know, we are very open to, you know, interesting ideas and unique things. We're not scared to push the envelope, which I know conventionally a lot of labels like to play the safe bet, you know, where it's something that's not too risky. We're really not about doing that.
Yeah, because when it comes down to it, my understanding is that record labels such as Artery, Rise, Capitol, all those, they're investing in musicians.
Totally.
Okay. So, and now that we've cleared that up, how would you speculate on the future of music at Artery Recordings and possibly extrapolate to beyond? Is post-hardcore, is metalcore, is the progressive metal that you guys market, is that, what does that have a good future, do you think? in that it's, does it have the potential to break out of, you know, the stagnated box that, you know, it has become infamous for, that people can, you know, pick something up and be like, oh, this is, you know, some gross, you know, high tempo metal, you know, stuff like that. I'm not really down for that.
Well, you know, I'll be very blunt, you know, traditional metalcore is dead, you know?
Yeah.
And I say that as in, you know, you look at something prevalent that was a breakdown-y, singy type band, you know, that was massive 10 years ago. It's now not cool anymore. Oh, no. You know, it's people's tastes change, you know, and that's normal. But what's become of it is this new almost pseudo metalcore where it's, you know, I don't know, even if you call it post-hardcore, it's becoming something else. And a lot of people in the industry, at least the metal industry, thought that the new style that was going to take over the whole metalcore thing was the djent world, you know, because it was totally different style, you know, stylistically. It had some fire behind it, but it kind of seemed to just sizzle out and not really become that new hip thing, you know. Yeah. What I'm saying? It seems like djent didn't blow up as much as I expected it would, but now, you know, interesting things are happening. We see, you know, bands like Beartooth breaking on.
Yeah.
We see bands like, you know, Bring Me the Horizon that aren't metalcore now that actually focus more on melodic songwriting that have just killed it, you know? So it's absolutely taking a new shape. It's just a matter of labels as a whole being able to kind of adapt and figure out exactly where it's headed.
Right. Okay. I think I get what you're saying. So, like, you know, there's a lot of crossing over that's happening.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a very experimental time for metal, you know? And by metal, I'm talking our genre. You know, in traditional metal, it's very much, like, aggressive and still very, very strong, you know?
Very aggressive, almost very bluesy, right? You know, harkening back to the days of, you know, Black Sabbath and Deep Purple, things like that, right?
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, bands like, you know, Metallica are killing it, obviously.
Right.
There's bands like, you know, Exodus that are on there. There's, you know, bands like Darkest Hour, they just put out an album, which I consider them a traditional, like, I consider them a metal band. I don't consider them a metalcore band, if that makes sense.
Okay. All right. Okay, I get what you're saying. So, okay, and then to follow from this, at which point do we begin to see, you know, sort of this, again, this crossing over, this experimental, at which point does it become, you know, at which point does labeling become meaningless? At which point does it become, you know, just this homogenous mix of sounds and song structures? Would you care to, you know, possibly, you know, speculate on that?
Yeah, I mean, so what's going to happen is it's going to adapt into something else. It's like, look at what happened with the rap rock, for instance, you know, where Limp Bizkit was this oddity, it was rap over aggressive music, and it ended up taking off, and then before you knew it, everybody was a rapper and a rap rock type new metal group.
Bands,
you know what I'm
saying? Bands so, such as Slipknot, Body Count, you know,
exactly.
even the new Volumes record that's coming out, like, it's all very, they're playing off of so many different styles, and it's so beefy.
Exactly. So, you know, that happened way back, you know, Limp Bizkit, all this rap rock stuff was very popular, you know, before your time, and then it ended up fizzling out, and everybody thought it was lame, and they didn't want to listen to it anymore, and then now it's kind of has this resurgence where people are adding that into the mix, so who knows, maybe rap rock is, like, coming back, or fringed elements of that. It's really too early to tell, but the bands that do get in on that, on the bass level, are going to be the ones that are your Limp Bizkits, you know, instead of your, like, cookie cutter, or, like, your copycat bands trying to jump on the wave, you know?
Yeah, like, you know, just those bands that you can look at, it's literally, like, you know, a small town version of, you know, some other extremely large band that everybody can recognize.
Exactly. I mean, look at, like, a great example is, you know, the Backstreet Boys, right?
Yeah.
They were like, hey, you know, this five, I think it's five piece.
Yeah, it was five people.
Band, was it?
Yeah, pretty sure it was five people.
Yeah, so, you know, this formula worked in a big way, so labels were like, oh, you know, this is popping off, let's do a new group. Then you see, you know, NSYNC, and then next you see like a 98 degrees, and then I lose count because there's so many fucking bands that come out that are that formula. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and recently, you know, in the past, you know, 6 years or so, we've seen, you know, bands like One Direction, 5 Seconds of Summer as, you know, the millennial additions to that.
Yeah, well, they were the resurgence of that, like that, because, you know, their fan base weren't followers of Backstreet Boys. But all I'm saying in this example, I hate to, you know, talk about Backstreet Boys, you know, when I could I run a metal label. But, you know, all I'm saying is when something starts to take off, then you see this formula kind of get created. And the people that were the first kind of originators of that style or whatever it is tend to benefit the most because they were there on the base level. So I feel like that's what's happening right now. It's, you know, something new is going to happen where it's going to be this new style that everybody's into. And from there, we're going to see it where metalcore is really headed.
No kidding. I can only, yeah, I'm excited, frankly, because this has been a genre that I've only been a part of for maybe the better part of 4 years or so.
Okay.
And even then, like in that time, I've found so much to love about it, right? The technicality, the aggression, the speed, how versatile it is, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and there's so many different practitioners of the sound, and through Artery and Rise and Roadrunner alone, you know, there's so much to be fleshed out. Epitaph, I mean, I've found a couple of bands from them, Bring Me the Horizon, of course, but nothing, and you know, Every Time I Die, but nothing else that's, you know, so overtly, I don't know, nothing else that screams it unless you find it on a solid state, unless you find it on a solid state release. But yeah, I understand that. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I understand that you're also, you know, giving, I understand that you're also giving talks with different college campuses. You go around and you do panels of sorts, you know?
Yeah, so I speak at a lot of colleges. I haven't as much lately. Occasionally I'll teach an online course, but, you know, the thing is, you know, I kind of mentioned it at the start of this, you know, podcast, is that, you know, in the music industry, there's a lot of speculation on what's supposed to work and what's not. You know, I often see bands that are like, oh, to be successful, I have to do this, you know, because my buddy said that. And then I ask, you know, oh, your buddy's signed, and most times they're not. You know, they just speculate on the answers and what bands should be focused on to make their careers happen. And I just kind of got sick of it because people would hit me up separately and ask me advice, and they were just doing terrible moves. So I just started kind of teaching stuff. You know, it's not like a money maker or anything. It's just kind of a thing I do on the side for fun. But we also have, you know, this live A&R thing we do too on Artery's Facebook. So, you know, unsigned bands can actually submit their music to us live, whereas, you know, we'll review it live on the Facebook, get them a little bit of exposure, and then we'll critique, you know, what we think of the song, what could be improved upon. But that's the last Friday of every month.
Okay. All right. So to reiterate to our listeners, on the last Friday of every month, unsigned bands can submit their work live to Artery's Facebook page, and it will get exposed, it will get critiqued, and then, you know, submit, and then, you know, it'll be processed for later review. Yeah,
exactly.
All right. So as we begin to wind down, you know, this conversation, firstly, Mr. Horan, thank you so much. I've learned a lot, you know, from you in the past 26 minutes that we've been, you know, able to talk.
Of course, man, that's not a problem.
Okay. As we begin to close out, is there anything you'd like to plug to our listeners?
No, not really. I mean, you know, check out our A&R thing. You know, it's comprised of a ton of advice. You know, I've got the alt press articles that I put out. It's also got more advice for you guys. But in the end of the day, it comes out to your music. You know, as long as you work hard and, you know, have something cool, you'll shine through, you know.
All right. Yeah, that's a good parting thought. Where can people find you? You know, around the internet, if you know, on social media, things like that.
Well, I'm on Facebook. It's facebook.com/shandanhoran. I'm also on Twitter and Instagram, and that's username just xshandanx. And yeah, go stalk me.
All right, will do. All right, and to again any of our listeners, You can find me on Twitter at GRNDTHFTACDMIA. That's Grand Theft Academia. And on Instagram at Pereira.K. Also on Facebook. Take care. Shan, again, thank you so much. This was a lovely chat, and I learned, and you know, this was a very eye-opening insight into the music industry and its inner workings.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Kevin.
Absolutely. You have a good afternoon, sir.
Okay, you as well.